Ever found yourself wondering, when grandma and grandpa might have to step in financially for the grandkids? Today, we're diving deep into a really fascinating Louisiana case, Levy v. Levy, which grapples with precisely this question. It touches on family dynamics and legal stuff in a fundamental way.
Exactly. What we're unpacking is the complex area of grandparent support obligations, specifically when a parent just isn't paying child support. It really brings these different levels of family responsibility to the forefront.
And to do that, we're going to look closely at the court's analysis in Levy v. Levy from back in 88. We'll draw out the key interpretations of the Louisiana Civil Code articles that govern these obligations. For law students listening in, this is a chance to really get the nuances, the difference between parental duties and grandparental duties.
Absolutely.
Well,
And to set the stage, it's important to remember Louisiana runs on a civil law system. You've probably heard this, but it really matters for how family obligations are viewed and defined legally compared to, say, a common law state.
Okay, let's unpack that civil law part a bit. What's the key difference we should keep in mind here for family responsibilities?
Well, what's really interesting is the emphasis on clearly written laws codifying these things. Louisiana law explicitly spells out who supports whom in the family. And this brings us right to the main tension today. The parent's primary duty under Article 227 versus the potential, and as we'll see, more limited obligation of grandparents under Article 229.
So we've got these two articles. 227 says parents are on the hook pretty clearly. Then 229 brings in grandparents, potentially. What were the specific facts in Levy v. Levy that really highlighted this tension?
Okay, so the core conflict started when Frances Taylor Levy sued her children's paternal grandparents, Raul and Mary Ann Levy. She was seeking child support from them. Why? Because the kid's dad, Charles Levy, wasn't paying consistently. And initially, the trial court actually sided with Frances, ordered the grandparents to pay $400 a month total for the two kids.
Wow, $400, that's significant. What kind of evidence, what testimony led the trial court to rule against the grandparents at first?
Here's where it gets really interesting and complicated. During the proceedings, Charles Levy, the father, actually testified. He said he was employed and had enough income to support his kids at that time, but, and this is key, he wasn't actually paying. Meanwhile, Frances, the mother, said she was working part-time from home, but the court noted she seemed capable of finding, more substantial work.
Okay, so the father had the money but wasn't paying. The mother had some income, maybe could have earned more. This really frames the legal question for the higher court pretty clearly, doesn't it? What was the main issue the appellate court had to sort out?
Precisely. The big question was, does Article 229 basically force grandparents to pay up when a parent can pay but just won't? Or is that grandparent obligation only triggered when the parent is genuinely unable to provide basic necessities? Like, really can't do it. That was the core issue.
Okay, so the appellate court really dug into that distinction. What was their main reasoning when they overturned the trial court's order?
The majority opinion found that Article 229, the grandparent support rule, is meant as a last resort. That was the key phrase. They stressed it only kicks in when there's clear proof the parents are truly unable to support the kids. And they made a crucial distinction. Inability means lack of means, not just refusal to pay when you have the means.
And in this specific case, Levy v. Levy, what evidence was missing? Why did the appellate court say the grandparents weren't responsible?
Well, the court pointed out that Francis hadn't shown enough evidence that Charles was actually unable to pay. I mean, his own testimony suggested he had income. Plus, the court noted she hadn't really exhausted her other legal options to get the money from Charles. Like, wage garnishment wasn't really pursued, apparently.
That makes sense. Thinking about primary responsibility, it sounds like the court was saying, look, use the tools you have to make the parent pay first. Did the court say anything specific that really drives home this idea of parental responsibility?
Oh, absolutely. They stated very clearly, and I'm quoting here, the burden of caring for a child's needs is fundamentally a parental responsibility. It does not shift to the grandparents simply when the father is not supporting his children. That quote really nails their whole point. Parental duty comes first.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned a concurring opinion earlier. What's that mean exactly? And what was Judge King's angle? Did he disagree with the outcome?
Right. A concurring opinion means Judge King agreed with the final decision, no liability for the grandparents here. But he wanted to emphasize something different. His concurrence focused on a specific procedural point in Louisiana law. He disagreed with the majority's take on Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, Article 3943. That article deals with something called suspensive appeals in alimony cases.
Suspensive appeals. Alimony. Okay, that sounds a bit like a legal detour. Why bring that up in a grandparent support case? What's the connection?
That's a great question. It shows how different bits of law connect. A suspensive appeal basically pauses a lower court's judgment while the appeal happens. Judge King was likely concerned about the process and timing for appealing spousal support decisions. While it wasn't directly about grandparent support, they both fall under family law finances. His point suggests maybe he thought the rules on when these appeals automatically stop enforcement needed clarification, even though it didn't change things for the Levies in this case. It's a good reminder that legal rulings have ripples.
Yeah, that really shows the layers involved. Okay, let's step back. These alimentary obligations, we've said that a few times. For our listeners, especially law students, what does that term actually mean in Louisiana law, and how does it differ for parents versus grandparents?
Okay, so alimentary obligations basically mean the duty to provide the necessities of life. Think food, shelter, clothing, essential medical care. Now, for parents under Article 227, this duty to their kids is primary. It's strict. It comes right from being a parent.
Right, parents have that core duty. So where do grandparents fit into this alimentary obligation picture?
Under Article 229, the grandparent's obligation is way more limited. And importantly, it's reciprocal. It only pops up if the child needs necessities and the parents are proven to be unable to provide that support. It's not a primary duty like for parents. It's more like a safety net for really tough situations where parents just can't, not where they just won't.
That difference between unable and unwilling seems absolutely crucial to levy ruling. Can you break down how the court applied that specific distinction to the facts they had in levy?
Definitely. In the levy case, the evidence suggested Charles, the father, had the ability to pay. His own testimony confirmed he had income. But his actions or inaction really showed an unwillingness to pay. The appellate court zeroed in on the fact that Article 229 demands proof of the parent's inability. And they found Frances hadn't sufficiently shown Charles was unable. She mostly showed he was just failing to pay, even though he seemed to have the money.
And just quickly revisiting Judge King's point on Article 3943 and the suspense of appeals. What was the bigger significance there, even that it didn't change the levy outcome?
Judge King's focus on 3943 was likely about making sure the appeal process in family law is fair and clear. By flagging a potential issue with suspensive appeals in alimony cases, he was highlighting a procedural rule that could affect lots of people dealing with spousal support. It seems technical, but it underlines that the whole legal machine in family law needs to run smoothly, and even side issues need careful thought.
Okay, so bring this all together. Why is Levy v. Levy such a big deal, especially for law students trying to get a handle on Louisiana family law? What are the main takeaways?
Levy is crucial because it clearly defines the limits of grandparent support in Louisiana. The number one takeaway for students is grandparents aren't automatically on the hook just because a parent drops the ball financially. The court in Levy hammered home that the primary fundamental duty belongs to the parents, period.
And for someone planning to practice family law in Louisiana, what does Levy mean practically? Like, what evidence do you need to even try for grandparent support now?
The practical impact is pretty stark. After Levy, if you want to argue for grandparent support under Article 229, you need solid, concrete evidence proving the parent's actual inability to provide basics.
Mm.
It's not enough to show they aren't paying. You need evidence of things like major unemployment with no real job prospects, severe disability preventing work, or other really dire situations that genuinely stop them from meeting their obligation. The focus has to be on lack of capacity, not lack of will.
Right. And finally, Louisiana's civil law system. Does this approach in Levy differ much from how common law states might handle grandparent support?
That's a really key point for understanding the bigger picture. While everyone cares about kids' well-being, the legal frameworks can be quite different. Common law states might use different statutes or rely more on judge-made precedent for grandparent rights and duties. This could lead to different outcomes even with similar facts. Levy v. Levy really showcases Louisiana's civil law approach, relying on the code, defining these obligations based on clear principles.
So to sum up our deep dive on Levy v. Levy, it really highlights how limited a grandparent support obligation is in Louisiana. The case strongly emphasizes the parent's primary duty and sets a high bar. You need proof of genuine parental inattentivity, not just unwillingness, before you can even look towards the grandparents.
Exactly. And that leaves us with a really interesting thought to chew on. Given the court's focus on parental responsibility and needing proof of inability, what are the bigger societal implications? You know, should grandparents be expected to step in financially when a parent chooses not to pay, even if they can? Where do we draw those lines, legally and socially?
That's a powerful question for sure. This look at Levy v. Leiby gives a solid foundation for understanding grandparent support in Louisiana. We definitely encourage everyone to dig into Articles 227 and 229 of the Civil Code and think about how these ideas might play out in different real-world situations.